Well, the crucifixion account is one of those settings that you find in the Bible that just has obviously grief connected to it, but also hope connected to it, that no matter what we have done or what we are yet to do, there's hope. And we see that hope described in the crucifixion account, especially when you look at Luke's account that centers around the thieves that were on the cross next to Jesus. I gave you, as you came in, a card that has some scripture on it. You may want to take a look at that as we just reflect on this for just a moment. Luke chapter 23. This is what Luke wrote. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, where they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." When you look at that account, we have there the source of hope, and you have the outcome of hope. Of course, the source of hope is Jesus Christ. It's the one that was crucified on the cross, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the one, even as the thief recognized here, who knew no sin, the one that bore our sins so that we might experience forgiveness and righteousness, the one who gives us eternal life, the one who gives us hope. The account focuses on two people who needed hope. You have the two thieves, the two criminals, as some translations tell us, two sinners. We don't know much about them other than the fact that they were being crucified for crimes they had committed. So those crimes were quite serious. No doubt these were men who broke their mother's hearts. They dashed their father's dreams. In the past, they made some bad decisions, some mistakes, some terrible choices, and now they were paying for it by giving up their lives on a cross. But before they died, as you look at this account, God was also giving each one of them a final opportunity to make a good choice, a choice that could offset whatever number of bad choices that they had made up to this point in their lives. The choice would be, would they embrace the one who in the center of them was being crucified, Jesus Christ? Would they embrace King Jesus, Savior Jesus, Messiah Jesus? Would they even see Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? And when you look at that account, you see that one of the two criminals did embrace Jesus as the king, as a king who reigned over a kingdom. He even recognized this. So one who reigned over a kingdom that was not of this world, a king who had the power to bring even somebody most unworthy like this person into his kingdom. And in seeing that, this guilty sinner, this criminal, who knew he deserved to be punished for his sins, though Jesus did not deserve to be punished, who recognized he needed mercy, cried out to Jesus and asked for mercy, asked for grace, he asked for what we call undeserved favor. And Jesus gave it to him, and he gave him this grace and mercy in a way that probably was way beyond anything that he had, could ever ask for or ever dream of. Because Jesus not only promised to remember him when he got to his kingdom, but Jesus promised to actually bring this criminal, this forgiven sinner, into his heavenly kingdom. He was going to bring him into paradise, which means Jesus was going to redeem him. Jesus was going to buy him out of his sins. Jesus was going to save him from his sins. Jesus was going to remove the separation that was between this criminal and God. We're told in the scriptures that our sins have separated us from God. And Jesus, in promising this person that that day he would be in paradise with Jesus, was saying, there's forgiveness for you, and there's hope for you. Now, who doesn't need that? Forgiveness and hope. Not because of something that we could do, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. God demonstrated on the cross his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, while a criminal like those criminals on the crosses around Jesus, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. And this guy on the cross did nothing to earn his salvation. Nothing. He did nothing to earn his forgiveness. Nothing. In fact, his salvation came without ever having lived the Christian life. Think about that. He was going to end up in paradise without ever having a chance to live the Christian life. Not because of his works, but because of Jesus' work. But nonetheless, in asking Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom and recognizing he was a sinner who needed Jesus as his Savior, he found hope. He found forgiveness. He found mercy. He found grace in his time of need, on his deathbed. I just read a short book titled Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross. I thought, that's a fascinating book. I want to read that. It didn't take long. But the book was written here just a couple of years ago after John Aiello Sr., at 73 years of age, while suffering from cancer and with not much time to live, the week before Easter in 2011, he heard the story that we're talking about right now. He heard the story of the thief on the cross, and John was saved. John asked God to save him. He asked Jesus Christ to save him from his sins in the final days of life that he was on earth. He came to realize that if a thief on a cross could be saved, then he could be saved. He received that grace that's found in Christ. Christ's death on a cross changed everything for that thief. And it changes everything for those who choose, at whatever place they are in their life, they choose to believe in Jesus and in what Jesus has done for us. So that no matter what we've done or what we will ever do, we can live with hope. Hope that comes from the forgiveness that's found in Jesus Christ and the salvation that Christ gives. And so that we can live with life now and we can live with life forever. And tonight we want to remember that. So in just a moment, we're going to share together an experience. We have communion provided tonight and a couple other stations here where we're going to just take some time to reflect on this crucifixion account and the surrounding events around this account that began with Jesus with his disciples at a table. They were having a supper, and he took the bread and he took the cup and he gave it brand new meaning, meaning like they had never heard before. He said that this bread was representative of his body that was going to be broken for them. And he took the cup and he said, this cup is going to be representative of my blood that will be shed for you. We know they did not fully understand what all of that meant until later. But as we look back, we recognize what it meant, that Jesus is the bread of life. And he gives life to anybody who comes to him and recognizes that they need a Savior. He is our bread from heaven. And in receiving him as our Savior, we're given a brand new life. The old things have passed away, new things have come. And his blood was shed for us, that there might be the forgiveness of sins. Think of that. His blood was shed for us so that we might be forgiven for our sins. And then even when we sin in the future, we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we have this experience together, as we just reflect on these events that surround this day, this crucifixion day, we pray that this will be a time of encouragement and hope for everybody. And if you've not yet received the gift of life that's found in Jesus Christ, you don't have to wait till those last moments in your life. In fact, you don't want to wait. You want that life right now. And that life is found in Christ, in recognizing that your sins have separated you from God, and by faith, receiving Jesus as the Savior, asking him to come into your life and to cleanse you from your unrighteousness, apply to your account righteousness to pay for your sins. It was paid for on the cross. To look to him as your leader and your forgiver, as your Lord and your Savior. And so before we share together in this time, let's just pray together and thank God again for what this day means. Lord, we are so grateful as we look again at this account that takes place around the cross that your son died, where you demonstrated your love for us, undeserving people separated from you by our sins, and yet you loved us so much you sent Jesus, your son, to die for us. You loved the world so much you gave your only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And Lord, we pray that if there's anybody here that has not yet received the gift of life, even tonight would be the time when they would believe. They would receive the gift of life that's found in your son. They would confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead and you will save them. And as we who already came into this building, many of us having believed, Lord, we recognize again and are encouraged by the hope that is ours in Christ. And we thank you for the forgiveness that is ours, that we might be people who live lives filled with hope. And so as we remember, may we appropriately give you thanks for the work you continue to do in us and through us, that the gospel of Jesus Christ might be seen and heard in our lives to others around us that so desperately need a Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.